From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com. You're listening to the Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
Granny, you are number one. All of your reports are so much fun. Wrestling memoirs and the soaps, Facebook and some funny jokes. Granny, you are number one. Granny, you are number one. Put that guilt on your grandson.
Don't visit your grandmother, Brian.
If a mess really blows, just give it a big fat minus O. Granny, you are number one. Granny, you are number one.
All right, everybody. It is the Brian and Vinny and Grady and Craig and Sean show here. It is May 12, 2026, figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Man, what a show we have today. Yes, we have not announced anything to watch tonight because tonight is what they call a special feature. Remember when you used to have HBO back in the day and it would just say special feature? Well, that's what we got tonight. A Coliseum video exclusive tonight. It's going to be very exciting. Granny, how are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah, we're going to do the Facebook, and we're going to do the
wrestling
report, as well as the soap opera report, trivia, and then we will have our special fun thing we're doing. Which, if I can spoil it right now, I just will. It's Curryhead's birthday today.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, we're going to do a party for Curryhead. Can you guys believe that?
It's amazing.
I hope not, because we're not.
Happy birthday, Curryhead.
It is his 50th birthday today. So, happy birthday, Curryhead. But that's all we're going to say about that. All right. Well, Granny, what have you been up to? What's going on?
Oh, not too much. I've been staying home a lot.
As opposed to what?
Our posts are going out, and I'm kind of upset because they made me take those posters of the girls down.
Oh, yeah. What happened?
I don't know. Somebody must have complained. I don't know who it was.
Do you really know who it was, or do you suspect you know who it was?
Suspect. Okay. And I was going to clean it up. And so now,
what was the problem? They just made art, and they put it outside your room. Why was that unacceptable?
I don't know. And
wow.
So what they're trying to do is make everybody that has something outside on the wall, they have to put their name on it and the room number. If they don't, they're going to come and take it.
So if the kids do a drawing and put your name and the room number on it, then that's it's okay.
That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Every week, I'm going to have two pictures up there.
Okay.
You should get Granny a stamp.
Granny's always looking to do some trolling. Yeah, stamp.
Always,
that's not a bad idea.
I'm always
put it right on the artwork.
Ahead of them.
Yeah, like a notary stamp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Why not?
Because I'm not paying for it this time. I'm saving up for those hearing aids. Well, Granny, I guess we got some Facebook. Should we see what's on it?
Go ahead.
I'm talking to you, Vinny. Wake up, bro.
Oh, I thought you were talking to Granny.
Well, she doesn't know what's on it.
It's okay. Her Facebook.
Well,
it
know,
is her Facebook.
She forgets easily.
Okay. Facebook reads, if you had a full tank of gas, LOL, where would you go?
Where Granny, would you go, Granny, like with a full tank of gas? Around
casino.
The block?
To the casino.
To the casino. You only can go to the casino, Granny.
Is there a specific casino that you like?
What is that? The Angels.
Angel of the Winds Casino?
Yeah.
You like that place?
The drive.
This place goes to the Tulalip, and I hate that place. I wouldn't go there.
My goodness.
What do you like the Tulalip Casino?
It's just...
crap?
I just didn't like it. Never won anything there.
That's a bit nice.
Yeah.
That's the
same
it.
Way,
no fun.
Brian, today I played Jackpot.
Excuse me?
Jetpack.
Jack Black.
Yeah.
Oh. Jackpot.
Anyway, I am the unluckiest person ever.
Hmm. But you love that casino.
96-year-old telling us she's the unluckiest person ever.
Right.
So you didn't win a jackpot.
Nope. But I did tie for second at the end. Because
so you're not. You're objectively not the unluckiest person ever. Because everyone else did worse than you except for one person.
It was during the game. For the whole hour. Then okay. The last game, I pushed all my points in and won. So I tied with the guy next to me.
Okay. Go Ace is confused place. Here. He says he's never been to Angel of the Winds, but AEW keeps running there, so he's got to go sometime. These are two completely different things.
Yes.
The Angel of the Winds Casino is different from the Angel of the Winds Arena.
Yes.
They sponsor
so
it.
If you go to the arena, there will be no games there.
Right. We had great confusion when we realized this, because we couldn't believe they were running a show. I think it was WWE, but somebody's running a show there. And we're like, the casino's not that big. It's not MGM Grand.
Yeah.
And then we realized it's the arena in downtown Everett.
Which also is not all that big.
No, it's a perfectly fine. It's actually a really good mid-sized arena.
It is a nice little small arena.
I actually like it.
Yes.
But it's beautiful.
But it's sponsored by a casino that's, I don't know, 15 miles north up the highway.
At least.
Yeah. Ryan D. Norcross says he would visit his brother and his family, but most likely they would pretend not to be home.
Wow. That sounds like something Granny would write.
She did chuckle.
Still chuckling.
You're going to steal that one, aren't you?
Wow.
She's building a fort right now she can dive into next time you come to visit.
Holy smokes. Oh, my God.
Rob Wanska says nowhere, because driving anywhere in Seattle is a form of torture I would not wish on anyone.
Well, you don't have to drive. Listen, Rob, we said anywhere. You could drive to the dojo. But anyway, you don't have to drive to Seattle. Anywhere. The question is anywhere.
Smalls Magoo says she would drive to
Who?
Work and back for 2 weeks.
Smalls Magoo?
Smalls Magoo.
Okay, that's a brand new one.
No, it's not. That's
Smalls Magoo?
I forget her. Honestly, I forget her real name. You've met her.
It's Mr. Magoo's daughter.
Ed's friend.
Well, I know, but you've never used the name Smalls Magoo.
Well, maybe
she never
answered before.
Okay.
I know who that is.
Yeah, so this is it's a new person here on the show. We've never read Smalls Magoo.
That's true. It's new to the listeners.
Yes.
Yeah. Jakey Emmert, not new to the show.
No.
Oh, buddy Jakey. I live in Minneapolis. Always wanted to go to one of those old Indian casinos way up in northern Minnesota.
Mm.
That would not be a fun drive in the winter. But if I don't keep any of my winnings, then I won't be able to afford to drive back home. That's a fair point. Minnesota's big.
Mm-hmm. Is it the Tulalip tribe that insists on being called Indians?
I do not know.
I was somewhere. I don't know if it was Tulalip or if it was maybe when I went to the Spokane casino, but they had this big thing. Like, nowadays, you're not supposed to call them Indians, right?
Yeah.
But this particular tribe was like, no, we are Indians. We want to be called Indians. Okay. We want to celebrate our Indian heritage. I forget where it was. Where was I?
Probably Spokane. Maybe not at a casino a lot lately.
Might have been.
The issue there becomes, while I respect their identity, what they want to be called, I live in North Bend. We have a lot of Indian people, as in people who were born and raised
this whole neighborhood.
In India. That's true, yes. Your neighborhood too, yeah. So it's not about political correctness anymore. It's about clarity. Indians and Native
Americans. Well, there are no reservations for people who live in India.
Yeah.
So there is that difference.
Yeah. Anthony Kyler Valentine says the only right answer is to go see Granny and get her autograph and possibly a picture.
Wow.
That's when Granny will pretend like she's not home. Right, Granny?
No.
Oh, really? Oh. How about that?
She likes Republic.
David Andrew Best says he would go back in time, but the only thing that can generate that kind of power is a bolt of lightning.
1.21 gigawatts. Yes.
Lance Tominaga says, I live on Oahu. I'm like a goldfish in a fishbowl.
Why would you drive anywhere if you lived on Oahu?
Is that last time I went to Hawaii, you were there. Is that the island we were on? It's where the Honolulu Bay is.
It's Honolulu is there.
No, it's not Honolulu.
That wasn't.
No, that's on Oahu.
I don't remember which island we were on.
Oh, Honolulu's on Oahu?
Yeah.
But we were on Kauai. Never mind.
Pearl Harbor.
There is.
Were we on Kauai?
We were on Kauai.
Oh, yeah, we were at Kauai. Yes. That's right. Chickens.
There's chickens. There's
chickens everywhere.
Oh, I bring it up because there is, when you're driving up to Honolulu, the bay, there is one of my favorite roads ever. It's only maybe a half mile long, probably shorter than that, but it's a banked curve highway over trees. I feel like you're in Star Wars flying along. It was awesome.
Oh, remember the caller Honolulu, Andrew asked. Yeah, whatever happened to Honolulu? Haven't heard from him in a long time. Hope he's all right.
Grayson Little says he would sell the gas for big bucks. He drives a Chevrolet Bolt. Well, it's an electric car, so he doesn't need the gas. Preet Paul says he would drive to the closest place that serves pork chops.
All the questions to troll me.
Kevin Riedel says he would go deliver DoorDash and Instacart to make money.
Yeah, I went to a steakhouse at the hotel we stayed at the Circa. There's a really nice steakhouse on the bottom level, and I believe they had a pork chop on the menu. Mm-hmm. No one bought it.
I've had the pork chops at the steakhouse.
Never. You don't go to a high-end steakhouse for a pork chop.
I've done it.
Idiot.
Delicious.
Yeah, Vinny is an idiot. You're correct. Okay, go ahead.
Stefan Sebastian of Top Fantasy. He'd take the top and doors off of his Jeep and take a long country ride while listening to the Granny Show.
Wow.
Aiden Turgay says he would drive to Montreal, which is about a five-hour drive from my home in Toronto. A fantastic city to visit, but not a great city to live in if you're not bilingual, in his own personal experience.
All right.
Jason Scott says, I drive a Prius, so it would get me relatively far. I'd probably Atlas Obscura someplace and go. He says, if you don't know, download the app.
Don't start that.
It probably works for Atlas Obscura. Gets plugs. Lou Leone says he'd go see his kids in upstate New York near Buffalo. Here's a good answer. Ryan Epling says he would fly to Phoenix, drive to Monument Valley, onto the Grand Canyon, and circle back around through Sedona.
I did that drive.
Nice. Are we really doing all these drives on one tank of gas?
That does sound like an optimistic.
Yeah, there's a plane involved there. Come on.
Yeah,
still.
But Andrea and I did fly down to Phoenix and drove to the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, the Arches. We went up, saw Yellowstone, and drove home.
I think Sedona's the other way. I think Sedona's in California. But the point is, yes.
Sedona's in Arizona.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
It's north of Phoenix.
I apologize.
Smarten up, Vinny.
The good people of Sedona.
Yeah, we should do geography trivia.
I am like terrible at geography.
Golly,
we have
sounds like it.
Learned this in various trivia contests. That is my absolute weakness.
And traveling.
But on one take of gas, I think for me, and like Andrea and I would probably go to Leavenworth. That place is just a lot of fun.
That's like I go there every year.
Yeah.
But I do that.
There's something real special about the coast in BC.
Mm, yeah.
It's fantastic. Beautiful.
You know what? I've never been to Whistler.
Really?
And I've always wanted to make that drive.
You may not make it on one tank of gas from here,
though. Granny has? You've gone to Whistler? For what?
Skiing, obviously.
We went up on the scooter thing or whatever.
The scooter? The
scooter?
Well, you know.
The skipper? The clipper?
The thing you ride in.
The gondola?
Boat or...
Are you talking about...
Is this the mountain that you're talking about?
Whistler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a mountain in British Columbia, Canada.
So how did you get to Whistler?
We drove.
Okay, and then you got into a gondola.
Whatever that was.
I think they're just like a ski lift.
Okay.
That takes you up to the top.
The gal that was with us was my husband's boss's wife. She left her purse in the car.
Ooh.
And somebody broke in.
Ooh.
Mm.
That's unfortunate.
Crazy Canadians.
Dylan Berkovich says he would go to the old folks' home to try the bistro.
Don't.
Jeremy Plotkin says he'd go back to Vegas.
I would too, man.
Depending on which way you go, can be a great drive.
I miss Vegas.
Yeah. It can also be a very bad drive.
Can't believe I'm actually saying those words. I miss Vegas.
I miss Vegas bad.
It was fun, wasn't it?
It was great fun.
It was a good time this year.
You know what? It was a good time. The weather was mild. It was like high 80s.
Dude, the weather was better than it was here today. God. It's like 82 and muggy. It was disgusting.
Very muggy here.
I did not like it one bit.
And we'll get thunderstorms tonight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Thunderstorms?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, it's going to drop 20 degrees.
Well, that'll do it then.
Don't tell Paisley about the thunderstorms. Not a fan.
Not a fan.
No.
Andrew Collins says he'd take a road trip through Route 66. I've done part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I've done San Diego to Phoenix. It was quite lovely, actually.
Here you can get your kicks there.
I'll give that a try. He also has a link on what road trip is, but I'm nervous. Let me click that. Luis Gustavo Interiano says he'd just drive up the California coastline, stop wherever to soak in the views, probably end up in Portland and Seattle and enjoy food along the way. That will take more than one tank of gas.
Yeah.
California to Seattle is far.
Especially on the 101.
I've done that one.
So have we.
I've done...
We have to Vegas.
We did the 101, too, on the way there.
Wow. Yeah, we Sean and I did.
How long did that take?
In the dark.
Sean and I drove. We did a 2-day drive to LA.
Yeah.
Wow. 2-day?
Yeah.
And it still felt like it took forever. I can imagine Iron Man.
Amateurs.
On the 101?
No.
No. We took the 101 once we got to Sacramento.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's where that tire blew out of the semi as we drove by it and scared the bejesus out of us.
Cool. That sounds like a great trip.
What a memory.
Dylan Amelia says that it's a toss-up. What a... Okay. These are his two choices for the anywhere he could go on one tank of gas. It's a toss-up between L.A., I assume that means Los Angeles, or Cape May, New Jersey.
I was going to immediately give an answer, but then I had to really think about it. I don't know, man.
What the hell's in Cape May, New Jersey?
What the hell's in L.A.?
What is in Cape May, New Jersey that makes it comparable to L.A.? It seems like one of those, whatever you want, like, they seem so radically different. It should be obvious
if
you want
to
go to.
Yeah, but I think they're both like,
the coast.
I'm not a big fan of Los Angeles myself. Zach Hamstat says the Brazilian Steakhouse.
Need a full tank of gas for that? That's unfortunate.
Brad Laguerre says there's a beautiful area in my province called Peggy's Cove. When I first got my license over 20 years ago, I'd drive there all the time and just forget all my cares for the time I'd be there.
How romantic.
Ah, that sounds nice.
Two more.
Andrew Windolf cut a promo.
Getting too sentimental.
Yeah. I'm just going to read what he wrote. If I had a full tank of the gizass, I'd drive my rear end down to Swinger's Palace, Daddy, and sell that gas to all boys.
Excuse me?
I'd be draped and gizzled before the end of the night.
Sounds like this is the guy that really
that
wanted
Johnny
to...
Johnny Swinger? All right, here's a good
one. Was the main event last week?
I don't know. Aubrey Kibbs, here's our main event answer for this. One tank of gas, where would you go? The pawn shop!
Because why not?
All right. Well, on that note, Granny, what have you got for the wrestling report here today?
I don't have anything.
Oh, stop it.
You know what? I like this because I was gone most of the day, and I came back, and I thought, my gosh, I haven't watched a wrestling match yet. So I went through my little thing there. I have something above that says Gigi's page or something like that. So I turned that on, and I just picked the first thing that came up, and it's kind of fun.
Good.
So anyway, what I got today was Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes, and don't say I just did it, because I was thinking I might have. Did I do it before?
You just said don't tell you.
Okay, don't tell me then. Okay. Okay, then it was...
Immediate follow-up to don't tell me was, can you tell me? Go
April,
ahead.
April the 28th. Wait a minute. 18th, 2026, a WrestleMania 42. Okay. And I'm just going to read my notes, because I don't remember even between now and last a few hours ago what I saw. Okay. Cody Rhodes. Oh, I'm going to have trouble. Wait a minute.
So, Cape May, New Jersey, technically on the Jersey Shore, but they say it's very different from what you see on TV. Instead of nightclubs and tanning parlors, you find Victorian mansions and a famous lighthouse. Hmm. Also, one of the places to eat, the Cape May Peanut Butter Company.
Oh,
I'm there.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. They were fighting in the ring.
And, what are you doing?
She's not talking into the mic.
Somebody came in.
Hey, the mic. You got to talk into the mic, though, Granny.
Somebody came in and beat up on Cody. So he got the guy back and beat him up and kicked him out of the ring.
Oh, McAfee?
I would think that was... I think that was Orton he threw out of the ring. And then he took the stuff off of the announcer's desk and laid Cody on there and beat him up. And, see, jumped on him and...
What is happening today?
I can't read my own notes.
Where's your headlamp?
And then at one time, they said, here comes McAfee. And I never saw him. I saw him coming around down the ramp, but after that, I didn't see him again.
I think you might have watched a clipped version of this match.
And then I kind of missed a lot of it, but Randy did a pretty good job of beating up on Cody, and then Cody came back and beat up on him, and, you know, same old stuff.
Mm-hmm. Sure you're not making this up?
No. Then they both got on the top ring, and both fell real hard on their back. and punching each other while they were on top of the in the corner on the top rope. Anyway, Rhodes wins. That's all I have for the wrestling.
Excellent.
Also, in Cape May, a place called Hot Dog Tommy's.
Would you shut up, Vinny?
Selling something called Matt.
Hey, Vinny, or Granny, remember when you were just going to, like, tell us what happened instead of, like, having to read your notes because that was working better?
I forget it.
Oh, you forget the match?
Okay. Yeah, in that short time.
All now, right. Watch when she does the soap opera.
So I'm kind of between the devil and the deep blue sea here. I can't read my notes, and I can't remember. So something's got to give.
Something's got to give between the devil and the deep blue sea.
Any suggestions?
I'm delighted you brought that phrase back to America here in 2026.
Well, I like those old-time sayings.
I do too, Granny. I think you need to go back. Remember when you used to do old-time sayings?
Yeah, they're the cat's meow.
Yeah.
I think we should have that for people.
We should.
Yeah, I have some really good ones.
Well, next week I want you to do a little bit of old sayings.
Oh, good. I love that.
Excellent.
And during the week I'll write them all down as I go along.
All right.
My favorite one is that won't fly because when I play Scrabble, I see a word and I say, that won't fly, that word. So okay. That's one of my favorite ones.
I like that one too.
So anyway, the soaps.
Yeah.
Phyllis and Victor are fighting, and the district attorney is one of Phyllis's worst enemies.
Mm.
And Phyllis's attorney is afraid of Victor, so he's not doing a good job there, and she won't give up. She just keeps... And if she loses, she could go to prison. But all the stuff they have against her are made up. She didn't really do it.
Man, oh man.
And then on the side of Matt and all the family, he wasn't dead. She thought she killed him with a rock after he exploded the building.
What?
He got them all.
I feel like I'm listening to a Dynamite review. Some guy blew up a building.
Yeah,
someone tried to kill that guy with a rock?
Well, what happened was he got them all into this building, and then he set up this trap, and his wife came and found him, and she was trying to talk him out of it. And so all of a sudden, at the end of the show, he hits the button, but they got out in time.
Hmm. Wow.
And so then he chased her, and she fell. But then she found a rock and hit him over the head with the rock.
Wow.
And she thought she killed him. But come to find out, he just lost his memory. So now he's back in the town, sitting around, and doesn't know who he is. So that's what that one is.
These soap operas are ridiculous.
The difference between the wrestling report and the soap opera report is vast.
Because she cares about one.
Right.
All right, Grant, we're going to do a little bit of a trivia until our special guest shows up. Because, yes, everybody, we have a special guest.
Am I still going to be on for it?
Well, you might want to be on for like a few minutes, but we'll have you say hello to the special guest when they appear here. But why don't you start the trivia?
Okay, Nikki came over yesterday. I think she helped me. Okay. What was the name of the first Mars probe to successfully land on the planet in 1976?
Viking? The answer is Viking, but I don't even know the question.
What, the first marshmallow? What?
Viking.
What? Okay. Eric,
can you read the question again? Guys, I deserve 2 points for getting the answer and when you don't even know the question. Go ahead, read the question again.
What was the name of the first Mars probe?
Mars probe.
Mars probe.
Okay. Thank you.
That enough?
Yes.
Yes.
What new type of display technology was introduced in calculators and digital matches in the 70s?
Calculators.
LED.
Digital matches? Liquid LCD. Watches. Liquid crystal display.
Somebody had it first.
LED?
LED or LCD? It's LCD, right?
LCD.
Thank you.
Okay.
Which company was founded in 1976 in a garage?
Apple.
Yep.
The first barcode scanner was used in the 1970s. True or false?
Oh, man. I'll say...
True. I'll say
true.
False. All right.
What home entertainment breakthrough allowed consumers to record...
VCR. And
Betamax.
What?
VCR. Video cassette recorder.
No.
DVR.
It's not DVR.
Betamax.
VHS.
Okay.
VHS?
That's what I said.
I said Betamax. And the actual answer is a VCR, not the tape. Anyway, go ahead.
What energy crisis in the 1970s led to significantly advances in the fuel efficiency and alternative energy research?
The gas shortage of the early 70s.
It's a company. No.
And read it again.
What energy crisis in the 1970s led to...
It's a company?
Significant advances in fuel efficiency and alternative energy research.
The gas shortage, gasoline shortage.
Oh, shit, it's a company.
I heard typing.
What's the answer?
It's a company.
I don't know.
What's the answer?
The Opal oil embargo.
Okay.
The oil embargo.
Great company.
Which handheld electric game system introduced in 1979 paved the way for future gaming devices?
What, the Atari? What's the question?
Mobile?
I'm trying to get the guest and answer this trivia, but I'm such a genius. Do the question one more time.
I don't want to read these twice.
Pong?
Which handheld electronic game system introduced in 1979
the Atari
the way for future gaming devices?
Atari.
Simon.
Ooh, nope. Good answer.
Not Atari? Nope. Not the Commodore 64?
Handheld.
I could hold an Atari.
You want four answers?
Yeah, sure. Give us four.
Game Boy.
No.
Atari, Lynx, Microvision, Nintendo Game and Watch.
Atari, Lynx.
No.
I think Lynx.
What's the answer?
Microvision.
Microvision. Never heard of it.
All right, that was incredible timing.
Macrovision.
I'm sure she's in micro.
I'll do one more page here.
Oh, good.
Who said that?
No one.
Vinny. He's being a jerk.
Which toy brand allowed kids to create colorful pictures by placing tiny plastic pegs
in it? Light Bright.
Yep. In the 1980s, it was common for kids to call a 1-900 number to hear messages from their favorite TV characters or celebrities.
I think it was the 80s.
True.
True or false?
For what decade? True.
The 90s?
90s for sure.
1980.
Late 80s? Yeah.
That's true. It started then.
I don't know, man. I say false.
It's true.
Oh, man.
What was the name of the sticker album series that featured gross out parody versions of Cabbage Patch Kids?
Garbage Pail Kids.
All right, are we ready for our special guest? Granny, can you hold on for a second?
I'm not going to read anymore anyway. I'm done.
All right, well, stand by. I want you to say hello to our special guest.
Hello?
Is this Violent Jay?
Yes, it is.
How are you doing?
I'm excellent, man. I'm so excited to be doing this, bro. Wow.
Oh, man, we're all really excited. Hey, very quickly, my grandmother is on the air. She's the oldest juggalo. She's 96 years old. I just wanted to give you a chance to say hi. Granny, say hi to Violent J.
Hi, Violent J.
Hello.
come and take my job.
Absolutely. You really like our music?
Yeah, she said, when I told her you were going to be on, she said you were back like a vertebrae. Can you believe it? Ain't that right, Granny?
Yep.
All right. All right, Granny. Go have a good night, okay?
All righty.
All right. Sounds
good. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Granny is not into profanity, so this might not be the show for her.
I got you.
Well, listen, Violent J, we just watched the WrestleMania weekend show. We've been watching the television show. We've enjoyed ourselves immensely, and we had the opportunity to get you on, and so we wanted to say hello and thank you for bringing us some entertainment over the last month or so.
Wow, did you guys really like the show? Have
actually,
you really
we did.
Enjoyed the show?
We actually did.
Yes.
I think we can
oh,
all
that's
agree.
That's great, man.
Yeah. I mean,
that
we have
awesome.
Watched some shit recently, but this rose above it. There was so much great stuff. Really had a lot, great time.
Oh, that's great, man. That is the best.
Now, you probably don't remember this, but like 18 years ago, you did this show. And it was actually one of the best shows we've ever done. And I remember you spent like a half hour talking about star power. And how, like, all of these, I think it was about wrestlers, but also rock stars, about how these people didn't understand how to have an aura. And you gave, like, this great speech about protecting your aura and being a star. I remember that to this day. And
are you serious?
Yeah. You were on. I'll try and find it and send it to you. But it was a great.
I can't even believe it. Oh. I didn't know I was on this show.
It was a long time ago. It was, like, 2006.
Man, my wrestling priorities were probably still different than they are today. You know what I mean?
Yes. Where is?
I don't know why I wouldn't remember it. You know.
Where's wrestling on your priority list nowadays?
It's number one. You know, aside from my kids. You know what I'm saying? Music is you know, music has become for me like more of a therapy than a passion. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I've got to make music to release emotions, you know what I mean? But I feel like we've accomplished so much beyond our goals in music that I was really hungry, and I feel like our whole company has been hungry for a new goal, a new pursuit, you know what I mean? Because in music, we just kept accomplishing the same goal. Like, we set a goal in the beginning, and we reached it, and we reached it again, and we reached it again as the years kept going by, you know? And we feel like we got that sewed up, you know what I mean? And we wanted to take on a new endeavor, something we can that will give us the same type of excitement that ICP did when we started that, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And we decided to get serious about JCW and actually try to compete with these other companies and try to bring entertainment and be taken seriously, you know, even if the show is a lot of times tongue-in-cheek, you know what I mean? We wanted to set out and really try to become something wrestling fans would enjoy and not just the fans of our music.
Now, I think that some people, well, certainly hardcore fans would know this, but maybe not everybody. You were involved in wrestling before there was an ICP for like a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, wrestling is where, I mean, all you got to do is look at ICP. We're a gimmick, you know, we're like a tag team, you know what I mean? And even our old interviews back then, especially the ones we did in Europe, we sounded exactly like we were cutting a wrestling promo. You know what I mean? We're yelling, we're in character all the time. You know, we were never saw without our masks on or our face paint. All that comes from wrestling. We took every element of wrestling that we enjoyed so much and we applied it to music. You know, we had a storyline, we had, you know, our whole career has been a storyline in these Joker cards that our albums are called Joker cards, but it's an ongoing storyline and everything. And the band is made in wrestling. It's wrestling where it comes from. And I was a wrestler. Shaggy was too young. He was only 17, so he was my manager. But I was 19 and 20, and I was wrestling around the Midwest, and man, I had some adventures, you know what I mean, with the original Sheik.
Oh.
You know, and on the first card I ever wrestled on, the main event was the Sheik versus Bobo Brazil.
Oh my God.
Holy God.
But they were old, brother. They were, they were old, man. I mean, like, Bobo came to the ring, and he had his arms around two guys, and he was coming down to the ring like, yeah, these are my, my guys or whatever. He had his arms around them, but in reality, they were holding him up, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And he got in the corner, and he just stood in the corner, had his arms on the ropes, and held himself up, and Sheik would come over to him, and Bobo would hit him with that big fist, and Sheik would go sell forever, you know? And then get back up, and Sheik would come at him again, and they'd be in the corner. And Bubba did the whole match in the corner. But to me, I didn't care. I was in awe. I was in awe. You know what I mean? And I brag about that, obviously, to this day. I'm doing it right now. You know what I mean? I was so proud to see that, you know?
Jay, you actually said just a few seconds ago in regards to ICP being characters, and one thing I said last week while we were reviewing the Stranglemania show that I really enjoyed about it is your crew are devoted to being characters, whether they be the clowns or the zombies. They are 100% dedicated, and that to me brought life to the show, made me really enjoy it.
Yeah, some of those guys were homegrown in JCW. Some of them already had that element to them. And we saw them and we're like, we've got to get them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Guys like Luigi Primo with the pizza, you know?
Oh, yeah.
We saw him and we were like, we got to get this guy. You know what I mean? Things like that.
Stephen Flo.
We're big on characters. We're big on gimmicks. I've always been really big on that. A big fan of that type of stuff. I think, you know, there's all sorts of wrestling that people can be into, but for me personally, I always really dug the outrageous gimmicks, you know?
So when you talk about homegrown talent, do the homegrown wrestlers, do they come up with their own gimmicks? Have you created some of the gimmicks? Is it a collaboration? Or where does this come from?
No, it would be like, I would come up with a gimmick, and I would look for a guy, or guys, for a long time. Like for example, we have a character. I had this character in mind called Mr. 50s, okay? And Mr. 50s would wear, like, a gray face paint. All his clothes would be black and white, and he would have no color on him. So he looks like you're watching a black and white TV. And he comes down the ring, and he's smoking a cigarette, and he has to talk the way the characters talked in the 50s, like in those 50s movies. Yes. Say, you know, I can't do it, but, you know, all this dame over here, you see? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, see?
It's hard for me to do it, you know, but yeah. He would be like he's from the 50s, you know? And everything about him, from his hair to his outfits to his gray tone, would look like he's on a black and white TV. And I looked for this character forever, and I finally found him in Drake Younger, of all people.
Oh, that's right.
The deathmatch wrestler.
Yes, I remember this, because I remember I had seen Mr. 50s. I'd seen like a clip on the internet or whatever. So when you started talking about it, I was like, I think I've seen this gimmick before. But yes. Drake Younger, of all people, is Mr. 50s.
Yes, because he kept calling me, asking me if I had a spot. And I said, I have one spot, but I don't know if you're going to want to do it, you know? And man, I gave that guy the pitch on Mr. 50s, and he sent me back an audio message, and I just could not believe how well he did that character. Like, he sent me that audio message right after I texted him the gimmick. He did it. He nailed it perfectly, you know?
Wow.
And I don't know why. I think he ended up getting a shoe job or something, but he ended up not wanting to do it no more. But yeah, like that's the type of gimmick that was in my mind. And there's another gimmick we just started on our latest episode of Lunacy called 40 Winks, which is a wrestler that has narcolepsy, you know? He's constantly falling asleep. And he wrestles in his pajamas, and he brings a pillow down to the ring that's suspected to be loaded, a pillow called Thumper, and he hits wrestlers with it. And again, I had to search and find the guy that was willing to take on a gimmick like that, a guy that was like, oh, man, I'm gonna murder that. I got it. I got that, you know, with the right attitude. And I finally found a guy, and we just debuted him last week on the show. And that idea has been in my mind for, like, probably 3 years.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. So we were talking about characters, and one of the things that we actually really liked about JCW is when it was like the circus. Because at the end of the day, this is Juggalo Championship Wrestling, and it should, I feel, have that circus feel about it. And a lot of the characters and a lot of the angles, you know, I think that's my favorite part of JCW. And then, like, every now and then, just all of a sudden, it'll be like, holy shit, there's Nick Nemeth. What's he doing here? And there's, like, some big star that shows up out of nowhere. So it's kind of a good mix of, you know, some serious wrestling, some tongue-in-cheek. How do you balance those two things? Because I don't think you want too much of either.
No. I don't want it to be... I want it to appeal to all wrestling fans. I want, you know, a little bit of everything, of all types of wrestling. I want a little bit of everything in there so that it can, no matter who you are, what you're into, you're going to see something you like. You know what I mean? And I don't want it to just appeal to juggalos. JCW used to be really wild, like with really offensive commentary. And we weren't trying, though. We were just, it was just for juggalos. It was for ICP's fan base. It was another extension of ICP. You know what I mean? We would bring JCW out as the opening act for ICP, and it would be wild. And we weren't trying to compete. But what happened was, I got out of wrestling for a while. You know, for the first time in my entire life, I stopped watching. You know, I went through a divorce, and then my life changed, and I just stopped watching, you know. And when I got back into it, I saw Vampiro was over at Billy Corgan's NWA, right? And I said, Vamp, ask him, can I come in and manage the Brothers of Funstruction against your team, you know? And so, to my surprise, Billy Corgan said, yeah. So I came in there, and when I got there, I knew the NWA was making a lot of noise, and they were doing something really cool at the time. It was like just before the pandemic, I think, and they had like a cool setup that reminded me of old school NWA, you know what I mean? And they had... a lot of good characters. Colt Cabana was there and stuff. And they were getting a lot of noise. And they had a lot of respect and a lot of coverage in the internet wrestling community, you know. And when I got there, I saw that their setup, the way they did things in their production, was no bigger than ours, than the same setup we've always had. You know, JCW's always done internet pay-per-views. We've always done tours across the country. And yet, there would be nothing about us anywhere. We made no noise in the wrestling community. It's like we didn't count. You know, I always use this as an example, but I'll never forget it. One time we came into Milwaukee, and we had a big show there, and we drew 4,500 people. This was not half of a concert. This was just JCW, right? And we drew 4,500 people. In the very next weekend, if I remember correctly, ECW went there. And ECW had a big pay-per-view. I don't remember what it was called, but it was at the Rave in Milwaukee. And they drew the same we did. And it was everywhere. Everybody was talking about how ECW drew over 4,000 people. And it was huge news all over the internet for them. If we had just done it the week before and there wasn't a blip about us, you know what I mean? Mm. And I just didn't understand why we were so ignored, you know? But we didn't try. We didn't, you know, we just said, hey, this is what it is. We don't care. We're just something for the underground, you know? We knew it was an acquired taste. But after going to NWA and seeing that their setup wasn't any bigger than the setup we've been using, and then I went to MLW. And I called them and I said, can I come in? You know, they had me come in for their battle riot, I think. And I got to spend the day there and study their program and study the way they did their pre-tapes and study their production and everything. And then I went to GCW and spent a couple weeks there, you know. And I even went to Japan and I went to Big Time in Japan, and I went to Triple Mania. I did a show on Triple Mania. And I studied these promotions, and I told myself, man, we can do this. And today, they're independent. A lot of indies are actually making money. Like, I come from the time where there was nobody. There was just Ring of Honor, and that was it. Nobody, no independents were actually playing multiple states. You know, they were all just regional companies, and there wasn't anybody doing real tours or anything except us, you know? And, And so I look at the indies now, and I'm like, man, look at these crowds they're drawing. It's so different from back in like the late 90s and 2000s. There's like companies everywhere now, you know, and they got big names in them and stuff, and they got fan bases, and it's real, you know. And I thought, man, let's dive in this pool. Let's try to actually hang with these companies today. Let's take this serious. Let's rebrand ourselves, get rid of the offensive commentary. Let's clean ourselves up. Let's give something for everybody, and let's take it seriously. And our company got together, and we discussed it, and we decided to do it for real, you know? And that's what happened. And ever since then, it was 2 years ago. And the most exciting thing is we've been making progress this entire time. It's growing. Slowly but surely, we're growing. And there's always some sort of sign that we're growing, you know, and it's been so inspiring to keep going because we always see the growth, you know, and it's really cool. It's super, super cool.
Well, you know, I told this story on the show, but I was there that Saturday at the Horseshoe. I went after WrestleMania, and I went to the I was actually in the clusterfuck, and then it was Janela's show. You followed Janela's show, right? Or which show did you?
Yeah.
It was Janela's show. So So I guess that would have been Friday. So I had to be up early Saturday, so I couldn't go to your show because it actually...
Yeah, they went almost 2 hours overtime.
Yes.
It was so bad.
And about,
like, no.
At about 1 o'clock, I was like, oh, man, I can't do this. But the point of this story is I left the venue before doors opened for your show. And the line to get into a show that was supposed to start at like 11 and started at, I think, 1:30. The line for that show went from the venue the entire length of the Horseshoe all the way to the entrance where the cabs were. I mean, it was the entire building.
We did second best out of all the shows on the Collective. Brett Lauderdale told me that we were second behind their biggest show, which I'm assuming was Spring Break.
I presume that'd be Spring Break, which started at like 7. You guys were starting at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, which was it wasn't supposed to start that late, and I couldn't get mad, you know. I was just honored to be part of the Collective, so I never said anything, but it hurt inside, you know. I was like, damn, we're getting this late start, we're already late, you know what I mean? It was like, it was a bummer, man. We put so much into that show, but they came out, and we ended up having a good show, you know what I mean? It was cool, it was fun.
You know,
we had another show the next night in L.A., so we had to... We picked up right from there and took off and went on tour from there, JCW and ICP together. So, but yeah, that was a great show for us, man. I wish you could have saw it.
Well, we watched it, and I wanted to ask about the main event because it was one of Vampiro's many retirements, perhaps the last one.
Of course.
This was not the first. But, you know, you've been doing this for decades, and you've seen how legends used to be treated, especially in WWE. They would humiliate the legends. They would make fun of them. They would make them look stupid. They would, you know, the whole shebang. And, you know, you guys didn't do that for Vampiro at all. You know, he went on last. He was the main event. He got the victory in the end. You did the big happy ending for the guy. And was that because it just felt to you like the right thing to do? Or was it also something where, like, when you were coming up and there was the Sheik and Bobo Brazil or whoever, it was like, I wanna respect my guys, like, you know, these guys were respected when I broke in.
I think it comes from what I grew up on. But, you know, the other thing is, that venue, it wasn't a true JCW venue. See, JCW, another thing that's different about JCW is we play rock venues. We always play rock venues. We're never... And because we like that freedom, you know, most of our shows are standing room only. You know, there's no chairs. It's like a concert. There's a barricade around the ring, you know. And a lot of times the venue has seating, but it's like up in the balconies and stuff. But we couldn't bring in most of the stuff we had for Vamp. We had the balloon drop. We had the confetti machines. We had everything. It was going to look massive in there. And they wouldn't let us bring anything. So all we could do was throw the ticker tape at the end, you know, like they do in Japan. And we wanted to go all out for them. You know what I mean? I felt so bad because I kept telling them, wait till you see what we do when your match is over. We had it all ready. And they wouldn't. The venue said no to all of it, man. It broke my heart, man.
It was still a great, like, send-off for him. I mean, you didn't have a cannon or anything, but...
Yeah, and Vamp is truly a JCW legend. Like, he's held our world title probably 6 times. He's wrestled for us all the... I mean, from when we met back in what was it, 99 or 2000? And Vamp actually defended the JCW world title on Nitro, and they acknowledged it. They acknowledged our belt on Nitro, and Vamp wrestled Tank Abbott. And as far as I know, I don't know of another company WCW ever did that for. They may have done it for like one of the Mexican promotions or like Japan or something, but I don't know of another American company WCW ever did that for, to where the commentators acknowledged our belt was on the line. You know what I mean? And Vamp cut a promo at the beginning of the match, and he said, "This is the only belt that matters in wrestling," and it was the whole deal. And man, that Vamp is a hero for that to us. You know what I mean? It was so awesome that he got to do that, and that he did that for us. You know, and he really is a Hall of Famer for JCW. So, like I told him, I said, I don't know if you're going to actually retire or not, but I know we can't use you no more after this. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Now, you mentioned 1999 and through today and breaking in like in literally the early 80s where you were doing some backyard wrestling. And you've lived through multiple eras. You were there for the end of the era of guys like Bobo Brazil and you know, some of those old guys in the 80s, and then you were there for the Monday Night War and the ECW and the hardcore era, and then you were there for like when everything kind of slowed down for like 20 years, and then I'm sure you were there when the indies exploded again, and now this you know, whatever you could call it today with WWE on fire and AEW. How have things changed? I mean, does it still feel like the same business to you, or what big changes have you seen?
Night and day. First of all, people underestimate the power of YouTube, man. What YouTube has done for wrestling is massive, and what the internet has done for wrestling, and what it's done for ICP. Like, there was a time when in the 90s when the only people that ever saw an ICP video, because we didn't have videos on MTV, you know what I mean? We didn't have any of that. The only time anybody ever saw an ICP video was if they went to Suncoast Music and bought our videos, you know what I mean? Our DVDs or whatever. But now everybody has access. It's like we live in a glass house now. Everybody can see everything we're doing. And it's the same thing with wrestling. You can live on the West Coast and you can follow an East Coast promotion night and day. You can follow every move they make. Easy. You know what I mean? You don't have to live near there or anything. We come from a time where you couldn't see that shit. You couldn't see what another promotion was doing unless you could actually go there and watch them yourself. You know what I mean? So, man, with all this happening and everybody available to watch each other's promotions, it's been the best thing for wrestling. I mean, I remember when WWE bought WCW, it was a strange time. TNA came up then, but there was nowhere to go. There was only like 3 options. You know, that was it. There was like Ring of Honor, TNA, and then the big one, the WWE, and that was like it, you know? Now there's so many places wrestlers can go and actually make money. You know, they can actually make, and as far as touring companies, that used to be JCW's claim to fame, that we were one of the only indies that actually toured, you know, that had show night after night on the road. And now there's a bunch of companies doing that. You know what I mean? And it's just night and day. It couldn't be any more different, in my opinion. It's like the music industry changed into an entirely different beast as it was in the 90s. When we came up, the music industry, we learned it, we mastered it, and we rode it like a fucking bull as far as we could. But now it's an entirely different animal. We don't know anything about the music industry today. You know what I'm saying? Because it's nothing like it was. And wrestling, in a lot of ways, is the same, you know? It's just grown, but it's a great way how it's grown. You know, it's a great, great way because you can be successful now on your own, and it's more common to be successful on your own. You know what I mean?
You talked about studying these the other promotions and using that for JCW. And that is one thing that we talked about when we were watching Stranglemania, these little things that we pointed out. For example, when you have a backstage segment and people say the wrestler's name, you have the wrestler's name printed on the screen when they're coming out. There's so many little things that benefit your promotion, and I'm glad that you've taken the time to learn all that.
Oh yeah, man. Well, we've been doing it, you know, like I said, there's so much back catalog to JCW. It's like there's so much we've done over the years, even in our most non committed years, even when we were most inactive, we still did at least 5 shows a year. In our barely most inactive times, we still would perform at The Gathering. We would perform at Hollow Wicked. You know, we would perform at Juggalo Weekend or the Christmas party or whatever. There was at least still 5 JCW events a year in our most inactive time, you know? And so, yeah, I'm not saying our internet pay-per-views were successful, but we were doing it at a time when nobody was doing it. You know what I mean? We were pulling it off, you know, and we were able to do this because we learned so much through music, especially touring. We learned so much about how to tour in expensively, and we had so much going for us in the touring world because that's all ICB ever did. So we just applied everything we knew to wrestling, and it was easy for us to tour where these other companies would look at taking on something like a tour, and it was like, oh, shit, how are we going to pull that off? You know what I mean? But for us, we already had those tunnels dug. You know what I mean? We just used the same routes we've been using for years, and we got very fortunate for that. And the same thing goes with our showmanship. Like you were saying about our characters, you know, we come from that world. We come from, you know, we come from theatrics and all of that, you know, and some of that has really helped JCW get by, you know, because we've already got our foot in the door on so many of those aspects, you know.
You've been doing this for a while, and it had to be putting some wear and tear on your body. How are you feeling, Jay?
Funny you ask.
That's a loaded question.
Shaggy won't even come near the ring no more. He'll come out. It was really important. Like Stranglemania, he showed up. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He don't come out no more because he's got so many injuries from wrestling. And man, I am just busted up. I need a double knee replacement. I'm just a wreck, bro. And I don't want to wrestle. I don't want to wrestle, but there's always some reason I need to be in the ring, you know? And it's like, fuck, man, yeah. I don't belong in the ring. I look like shit in the ring. And yet there's always some reason I need to be in the ring. You know, I can't even get in the ring without looking mad old, you know?
You got to kill Vito every week. There's got to be some reason.
Yeah, this is Vito. Where'd this guy come from? I mean, I know where he came from, but holy smokes, this guy's a hell of a promo.
Yeah, Vito?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's Vince Russo's good friend. So when we linked up with Vince, you know, Vito was right there front and center. And I got to be honest, at first I was like, oh, man, what is this? You know what I mean? I didn't know what kind of talent that man was until we really got to using him. And now I'm like, holy shit, he's really good. He's really, really good at what he does, you know? And, I do know he's on a lot of segments. He's on a lot of TV, but they love him. Like, you read the comments, they love Vito. They really do. And, yeah, he's just an extraordinary talent, man. I had no idea.
So before we wrap it up here, because it's midnight over there, what is your, what would you say would be short and long-term goals for JCW?
The same one we had when we started. Now, this is going to sound conceited and stupid, okay? But it's true. I like to say we don't fail goals at Psychopathic. That's our record company. That's what is behind ICP. That's what's behind JCW is Psychopathic Records. And we don't fail our goals because we don't set them unrealistically high. You know what I mean? Our only goal is to see, well, maybe this is unrealistically high now that I think about it, but our goal is to see JCW be self-sufficient and pay for itself. Like, we don't have to make a penny. We don't have to make a dime profit. We just want it to cover its own bills. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
If we get to that point, then we succeeded in our goal. And if we land a network deal of some sort and they pay such and such for each episode, we're pretty sure we'll do that. You know what I mean? We'll have accomplished that goal. And the other part of the goal is to be respected. Like, we don't want everybody to say, oh, Juggalo shit, that's not for me, you know? I'm not into Juggalo shit. Because we like to look at it like this. If you're not in ICP, if you've never heard our music, that's perfectly fine. The word Juggalo is no different than the word renegade or the word outlaw. You know, if we were called Renegade Championship Wrestling, that's not something everybody would automatically turn off. Well, Juggalo, the word Juggalo in 2026 is a lot like the word renegade. You know, it doesn't have to mean an actual Juggalo. It's just saying, like, misfit championship wrestling, that sort of thing. You know what I mean? And we want people to watch the show who aren't Juggalos. We want to be covered in the wrestling media. We want to be included. You know what I mean? We just want to be included. You know, like in internet wrestling community, we want to be included. Even at a small level, you know, and oh man, and like when the Wrestling Observer started reporting our results, man, I was ecstatic. I'm telling you, man, and I still am ecstatic. You know what I mean? It's just so great to be written about in there, because that's what, in my opinion, that's what was always the real groups that they were talking about in there. Those were the ones that mattered. And then to have our rankings and Pro Wrestling Illustrated, man, same thing. To have Pro Wrestling Illustrated list our top 5 tag teams and our top 10 wrestlers, that's an amazing feeling for me. That's what I grew up on. You know what I mean?
Well, we have some people.
Our goal is that our goal is to see JCW pay for itself. Again, we're not looking to make a profit. If it can pay for itself, then we'll be able to pay the wrestlers. And that's where we want to see. That's our goal. You know what I mean?
I would say after WrestleMania weekend in particular, I think you've reached the respect level. And that's what the people in the chat are saying right here. I mean, nobody looked at that as like a comedy show or a clown show. It was like, that was another show. It was the second biggest show of the collective weekend. Yet, God only knows how many people clamoring to get in at 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, that was a big deal.
You think so? You think we're starting to get respect, like, in the wrestling world?
I think so. I'm not just saying that because you're here either. I mean, we're reviewing it. Like, what we were doing on this show was, like, you know, every month we switch to something different. So, okay, this month we're going to watch whatever, some old Coliseum home video. The next month we'll watch, let's watch a month of Royal Rumbles or whatever. Well, everybody was like, you should watch ICP. You should watch the ICP show. I was like, all right, we'll watch ICP. So we, like, you know, watched a couple of episodes, and it was the end of the month. And then, like, we got to keep watching this show.
Yeah, it was lunacy on YouTube.
Yeah. So, we did not know what to expect going in because we hadn't watched the show. I mean, I've obviously followed it forever, and I remember back when it was Juggalo Champion Shit Wrestling, you know, way back in the day. And, you know, we didn't know what we were getting into, but we watched it, and we thought it was great. And then, next thing you know, we're there at WrestleMania watching, well, at least we were going to watch it live, but we did watch it afterwards. So, I did very much enjoy it. We all did. And we'll be watching more lunacy, I can tell you that. Now, before
that's
we go,
awesome,
though,
man.
Craig has
that's
some...
That just makes my whole month, man, honest to God.
Craig's got some music questions for you before
sure.
we go as well.
Hey, Violet J, how are you?
Hey, brother.
So, I'm a huge fan of Pearl Jam, and they have a huge fanatic fan base that follows them all over the country. They liken it to like fans of the Grateful Dead or Fish. And as I was thinking about it, I was thinking that the Juggalos are kind of the same thing. They're fanatics. They fly your colors. They are passionate. And I got to ask you, in 2011, the FBI labeled your fans a gang. How did you react to that?
First of all, let me say, Pearl Jam is my favorite band of all time.
Wow.
Mine too.
Craig's new best friend.
Absolutely.
I have seen
Pearl Jam is my absolutely favorite band. Eddie Vedder is my absolute favorite singer of all time. It's been that way since they first came out, and they are without a doubt my favorites. And
Craig, how many concerts have you gone to? Listen to this.
I've gone to probably seven. Craig,
how many, Craig?
I've seen 42 shows.
42 shows. Wow.
I was at the show where Even Flow was filmed.
Wow, really?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, see, the thing is, okay, like, when I'm a big fan of something, that doesn't mean I'm in their fan club. That doesn't mean I'm at every show.
Sure.
That just means I'm getting every album. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
But, you know, the type of fan I am is, like, I guess I'm a casual fan, but I'm an enormous fan of the music. Like, I'm there. Every time there's a new album out, I'm there. I got it right away, and I study it to death, you know? Mm-hmm. But what happened with the gang affiliation thing, you know, you've got these kids, right, and they're meeting, they're having what they call mini gatherings, and they're mm-hmm. getting together in these neighborhood parks in these rural areas, and there's 50 of them or 75 of them, and they're all wearing similar clothing with similar logos, and they're having a barbecue, and the police don't understand what they're seeing. You see what I'm saying? And it's so easy for them to say that this is a gang in their city because they get extra funding from the government to deal with that band, that gang. And what happened was this book came out during the whole FBI thing. This book came out, and the book was called Family. And I read that book, and I could not finish it without getting a panic attack. I just could not believe what was happening. There are, like, former juggalos whose career it was to tour around and give seminars to police departments about juggalo detection.
Juggalo detection.
Yes, this is a fan base. This is a fan base. It is not any type of gang, of organized gang. Are there gang members that are ICP fans? Sure. And I'm sure there's gang members that are Pearl Jam fans out there, too. You know what I mean? When you're selling millions of albums, you're going to have everything amongst that crowd. You're going to be able to find whatever you're looking for. You know what I'm saying? But no, it was monumental. It was a huge problem for us because there's repercussions to being in a gang and the gang database. You know, if you get pulled over and you're being sentenced for a little bit of weed and you happen to have a hatchet man on your back window, suddenly you're being sentenced as a gang member, which is stiffer punishments, you know?
Right.
This was crazy. People were losing their job. People were getting thrown out of the military. This was insane. And suddenly our concerts became gang rallies, and our insurance went through the roof, you know. Hot Topic, which we had a fantastic relationship with. We even did a concert for their staff in California where we played a concert for their warehouse. We had such a great relationship with them. Suddenly, they just pulled all of our stuff out of Hot Topics because they were suddenly selling gang apparel. It was a total bullshit label that really rocked our world. And the only thing we could do to let the world know that we are not okay with this labeling is to march on Washington. And people say, well, wasn't that just a publicity stunt? Yes. How else can we let the world know we're not okay with being called a gang? If we don't say anything, we might as well be a gang. You know what I mean? We have to stand up and say something. And so we did it. We did a march on Washington in 2017. It was successful. There was like 4,000 people there. We had no idea if anybody was coming at all. We had no idea. There's no way. It's not like you're selling tickets for it. So we didn't know if anybody was coming, you know. Mm-hmm. And we found out tickets, hotels are really expensive in Washington, D.C., and we were just worried to death. But we had an awesome turnout for us. And, you know, and we made a lot of noise. We did a lot of press, especially that week. Man, we did a lot of press, and we feel like we were heard. And in the end, it's sort of gone away now. And we're back in Hot Topics, you know what I'm saying? And it's looked back on nowadays for exactly what it is, which is fucking ridiculous. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just preposterous. You know, imagine that happening to Pearl Jam. That would be insane, right?
Absolutely.
It's so, no more different than insane. It's same for us. I mean, we're just, we paint our faces. It's obvious we're not really this. It's obvious we're entertainers, you know? And what they did, I've never heard of it happening in rock and roll, period, you know? I remember this one lady, she was a probation officer for 15 years, and they saw on her Facebook page that she was a juggalo, and they fired her. I just could not believe this shit. Like, what is happening, you know? But it's a part of history now, and it's a part of our history. And like I said, we seem to have survived it, you know? And I'm glad it's over. But what a trip. What a wild thing. And it's funny you made the comparison to Pearl Jam's fans, because I was reading a book about Pearl Jam, and the author of this book also made that same comparison. He actually brung up Pearl Jam, brung up ICP in the book, and I was like, whoa, what's our name doing in this book? You know what I'm saying? About Pearl Jam, you know? But, I'm obsessed with Eddie Vedder. First of all, if I could look like any man on earth, I'd look like Eddie Vedder, that's for sure.
He's handsome.
Dude is super handsome, man.
Loves the plaid.
Yeah, man. There's been multiple times in my life, let me just say this, where I've been standing on stage, my eyes are closed, right? And I'm deep into a song, and I think I look like Eddie Vedder up there, right? And when I open my eyes, I might be playing a type of venue where you can see your reflection behind the bar across the dance floor. And I see my reflection, I realize I'm not Eddie Vedder up there. I'm a fat clown.
Yeah. I have the same reaction when I'm singing in the car. Just a fat clown. And you guys are going to take on a retirement tour here in the next few months?
Say it again now?
Are you guys going to be doing a retirement tour?
You know, we're supposed to, but we keep pushing it back. You know, I mean, like, I'm feeling good. You know, I had heart failure a couple years ago. And probably like 5 or 6 or 7 now. But they did this procedure called an affibulation where they went in through my thigh and they burned a scar off my heart and my heartbeat went back to regular. So I don't have irregular heartbeat anymore. I have a regular heartbeat again. And so as long as I'm in this stage, I don't want to stop. You know what I mean? I want to keep touring, and we're starting to play more and more festivals now. And, you know, this new world, this TikTok world, man, fuck, it's crazy. We just had four singles and an album go gold, according to today's record sales, like according to digital sales or whatever, you know, how they count the streams or whatever.
Sure.
We don't even know how, but we just had 5 records go gold and 1 go platinum. Just like 2 weeks ago. And we just can't believe it. It's all because of that TikTok shit, you know? And these young fans are coming out, and we're selling out venues that we have tried to sell out our entire career. Imagine what that's like. Here we are, even when we were all over the charts in the 90s and early 2000s, we're selling out venues we've never sold out before. We're selling them out now. We just had a tour last year, a 12-city tour. We sold out the entire tour. We've never done that. ICP has never sold out an entire tour, and we did it in 2025. You know, it's crazy. So I don't want to stop playing. You know what I mean?
So this is going to be a Vampiro retirement tour.
Oh, Vampiro. See, Vamp, I told Vamp, if you want to retire, I mean, if you want to keep playing, keep performing, go ahead and do it. But just, you can't do it in JCW, you know? And I know he's going to keep doing it, you know what I mean? As a matter of fact, he started flipping his words at the end. He was doing a bunch of press, but he started saying, yeah, this is my last match in America, you know? And then he started saying, this is my last match in JCW, and I'm like, okay, he's positioning himself, you know what I'm saying?
Well, listen, before we go, let's get out a bunch of plugs for JCW, where you can watch it, and the YouTube channel and everything. Any ICP stuff you want to get out as well? Any social media? Some TikTok? The floor is yours, Jay.
Man, I don't even know what our addresses are on there. I'm assuming it's St. Clown Posse, but yeah, man. The only thing I want to plug is JCW Lunacy, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on YouTube. And not this week, this upcoming Thursday, but next Thursday is a Lunacy Live episode from Columbus, Ohio. That episode will be live, and we're really looking forward to that. It's an extended episode. It'll be a good 2.5 hours. We got some really big surprises on that show. And, yeah, man, Lunacy is where it's at. No matter what type of fan you are, if you give us a chance, there'll probably be something about the show you enjoy, and that's my challenge. I challenge anybody to give it an open-minded look and see if there ain't something you like about it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. JCW Lunacy, Thursday at 7 p.m. on YouTube. Lunacy Live is coming up. And I think it's safe to say that if you promise surprises, JCW is going to deliver some surprises. So Lunacy,
it's Christmas morning, brother.
Live is coming up. Jay, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today. I really appreciate it. I hope we can do this again, not in 20 years, but hopefully sooner than that. And
anytime, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, man. Seriously, you guys have no idea what this means to me. Thank you. For real. Thank you.
Well, we really appreciate you. We wish you the best. And thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great, my man. You guys be cool.
All right. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Good night.
Bye. Mahalo.